Excuse me, I'm with radio station KPFK. What do you think after hearing Jerry Falwell?
I don't think he's the goon that much of the media has made him out to be. He's not an all black or white. He's not an angel and he's not a villain, but he seems like a very intelligent
fellow.
Well,
he's certainly very well spoken tonight. Do you think he had most of the audience in his hand?
No,
but they were listening. I think they were listening, though.
Very skeptical, but listening.
Thank you. I'm with radio station KPFK. What did you think after seeing Jerry Falwell?
I thought he was very interesting, but I still have a lot of reservations.
On what issues? Do you think he really is a friend of Israel?
I think for the moment he is. I don't know what'll be tomorrow.
Okay, thanks. Hey, I'm with radio station KPFK. What did you think of Jerry Falwell?
He didn't say anything important.
Did he come here to say anything important? What did he come? He came here to convince these people that he is pro-Israel.
No, he didn't come to convince that he's pro-Israel. He came to convince us that we can live together in the American society, Jews and Christians. I think that was the point, and he did not make it. He actually he didn't say anything that could give these people, the Jewish community here, anything to go home and relax. Nothing.
Not to mention the fact that it was a Jewish crowd, and he had to appease us. And he was diplomatic, but there was no change in policies. He came with the same attitudes he left with.
And those are?
He has a biased position. He's a diplomatic person. He's got a philosophy of life, which he believes in, and there's no correcting him. And he made statements. He tried to be very polite about them, and reassure us that when everything is extreme, it's not that extreme. But they're still there. They're not being marked off.
The fact that there still exists that kind of group. That's what we should be concerned about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. I'm with radio station KPFK.
Oh, yeah. Please interview me.
So, you paid your $10, you went in, you heard him. What did you think?
I think it's, having lived in Israel many years, I think it's very sad that Israel today has to have friends like Jerry Falwell in order to keep it going. As my friend here said, it's all showbiz. We can understand why he has so many followers. He's a very impressive speaker, and he said what the audience wants to hear. Unfortunately, most of his followers probably don't believe what he said to this group.
He was very diplomatic and talked around a lot of the issues. Do you think that he is truly a friend of Israel, and if so, is that the kind of friend you want?
Look, it's hard to say. I believe that when you get up in front of an audience in person and say one thing after having said entirely something else in a book you've written, there are serious questions to be asked here, you see. This is, as my friend said, this is all showbiz. You get up, you have a very deep voice, you've studied your notes, and you speak well. There may be an element of sincerity here, but, you know, he's intoxicated like all people are when they get into such a position of notoriety and publicity and so on. So one is hard put to know what to do. And in any event, this is lunacy. I mean, in my view, this is sheer madness to reduce the religious and social debates to the level of the most primitive, of levels, you see. You know, so I find it difficult. I also am pretty upset that that the Jewish community finds it so necessary to give such obeisance and to be so obsequious and so polite. I don't mean that the thing should have been rude, but there should have been a little more spark, you know. Questions that were asked.
There tend to be a little kid glove treatment of him there in some of the questions.
Overly civilized and overly polite. I immigrated to Israel. I was born in this country and I worked for Israeli radio and television. And I think it's very sad that Israel is in a position right now, partially because of the situation of the world and partially because of the state of affairs in the Israeli government, that it's unfortunately forced to grab friends wherever they can. And Falwell represents 5 million fundamentalist Christians in this country, and so Israel, the government, is going by numbers only, and it's not by what they stand for. I immigrated to Israel because of what it stood for, the values, the dreams, and I still live there. I live in Jerusalem. Unfortunately, it's not the city of peace, even though that's what Yer Shalom means in Hebrew. And I think it's, I hope that one day we won't have to kiss ass to get the type of friends that Israel is doing right now. And Jerry Falwell. But friends, enemies, friends come and go, and enemies accumulate. And in this case, I think enemies have accumulated, and friends are hard to find.
You don't want Jerry Falwell as a friend of Israel.
I want Israel to have friends, and right now Israel is more isolated than it's ever been since its founding in 1948, partially because of the climate of the world, partially because of the abrasive public relations tactics of Menachem Begin. The thinnest book in Israel right now is the Israeli Book of Diplomacy.
Oh, hi.
Hello, how are you?
Pretty good. I'm with radio station KPFK.
So I
You
understand.
Went in and heard Jerry Falwell tonight?
I did.
So what was your impression?
Well, unfortunately, I'm not as well read in his background to be able to say that I am totally, that he's being consistent or not being consistent. But I would have several questions that I think would need to be answered. One of the questions I wished had been asked was, when did Jerry Falwell first announce his support for Israel? Was it in 1980 when he became an active politician and the Moral Majority rose to prominence? Or was it maybe in 1956 or during the Suez Crisis? Was it in 1948 when Israel was born? I don't know the man's background well enough to say that we could point to something on the record a decade or two decades ago, or whether the first public statement came when it was politically expedient for him to make the statement. But I think that's a question that would have to be answered before I could make a conclusion as to the depth of his sincerity for his support for Israel. To me, I'd like to know the history of his pro-Israel stance in order to formulate some more opinions about him. The area where I completely depart and part company for him is, I think, in the personal stylistic area with respect to, say, abortion. I think his arguments are fallacious, and the best question that was asked tonight, the very best question, came from the audience, this man asked Dr. Falwell what his feeling is, what his belief is in terms of clinical death. When does a human body stop being alive? And Falwell thought about it, and he may have well been winging it, but he said, okay, when the brain waves stop. And then the clincher. Okay, when conception occurs, there's no brain. How can you say that's a person? And Falwell had to fall back on metaphor. God has a better microscope than any of us, and he can see the brain. That's specious. That is,
it's a more important question that wasn't asked, which is, Falwell said he's willing to support the rights of churches that discriminate racially, including the Bob Jones University in down in Carolina, the Black Muslim Church, Jewish schools that don't admit Christians, and Christians in general who don't like blacks. He's willing to support their right to continue practicing those religious tenets as repugnant as those beliefs may be. Will he be willing, if he manages with his to succeed with his legislative program, to support the rights of Jews who religiously believe in the right of a woman to abortion, to continue that religious practice as repugnant as he finds it? I think not.
Good question.
I think he already said no. I think so. I think that was brought up. He kept walking around the issue, but I think eventually that he said
Falwell is a master at walking around the issues. Five times out of six, he evaded the questions that Dennis Prager and Joe Tulushkin put to him. And it was only because of Dennis's persistence that he answered a couple of them directly. But I think the best illustration of his reaction when his logic is pierced, so to speak, was the question regarding the beginning and the termination of human life.
To be fair, Rashi used to do the same thing.
Very possibly so. I don't know.
Rashi was put in some pretty tight spots, and he fell back on the idea of miracles and so on. So
oh, sure. But the, you know, but then again, that's Falwell's background. I must say this, in fairness to the man, there were areas where I have to hand it to him for admitting he was wrong or admitting he made a rash statement. For example, at the I Love America rally in Richmond, he fessed up to what was a boner. No question about it.
Yeah.
One final comment.
I think what we should also not exclude is the importance of what his followers believe, as opposed to what he says. I mean, for example, when he goes out and speaks to Jewish audiences and tries to solicit their support, do the people who have followed Jerry Falwell over the last 3 years and who have never before been known as particularly friendly to the Jewish people, how do they react? And I think in the long run, that's going to determine the effectiveness of his solicitation of the Jewish public in the United States.
Yeah, one of the problems with any ideological movement like this is the fact that your followers do get awfully far away from you. Mm-hmm. You may be a very decent person, your followers are not. If you read a book, say, like It Can't Happen Here by Sinclair Lewis, Buzz, the guy who became president of the United States, had very honest beliefs. He believed that every American should be given a floor income of $5,000 and that the workers should really run the country. I don't mean that in a leftist sense. I just mean the poor common schnook out there should be able to have a say-so in government. Except that a group called the Corpos, which we would translate here as by analogy as the local franchised moral majorities, took over and perverted the entire process. I think that could happen here. And one of the real problems with the organization of the moral majority, and he admitted it in there, Falwell admitted this, is that he says they are all independent, they are all entitled to their own opinions, they are all separately owned and controlled. Well, there is no better way of building in deniability than to say, look, the local chapter is not controlled by the parent organization. I don't know what the guy in Wyoming said, if he wanted to go out and burn books or lynch blacks, but we in Washington don't believe in that. That's just our franchise. They have to sell us back the name if they ever change one of the four fundamental stances. I think that's abdication, and it's improper abdication of his responsibility. Like it or not, Reverend Falwell apparently has 5 or 6 million followers at last count. He ought to try to keep them under control, or at least direct them, or use what is obviously his well-thought-out, sincere beliefs in directing some of his followers and influencing them.
There's a lot of people in America with IQ of room temperature.
And with that, good night.